Good morning, Lansing. It's Saturday, and the pet experts are in the building. And it's time for the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS. Now, your hosts, Lee Cohen and Rick Preuss.
Welcome, pet keepers, to this week's Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. I'm your host, Lee Cohen, here with my co-host, the pet expert himself, back in the building, Mr. Rick Preuss. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Lee.
Oh, Rick, it's nice to be back in the studio after our trip out to the dog park at Joey's Pet Outfitters, and last week our replay of that tremendous bird show that we did back in May. But who knew we got hit by lightning? So most of our radio customers just couldn't hear that, but it was a real treat.
Yeah, that's a show that I didn't want people to miss, so I'm glad we were able to throw that out there again. Kirby did a really fantastic job talking about the passions of a bird keeper or a bird watcher.
No, I agree. It was a terrific show, and even though I had heard it before, I heard it again, and I liked it as much the next time. I keep learning every time I hear.
Well, talking about learning, this week is going to be a great one. So anybody that's just sitting down for their cup of tea or coffee, definitely get an extra cup next to you, because we have some great conversation coming up here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're going to be speaking in just a moment with the founder of Canaday Pet Food, Scott Whipple, who is someone who really has a unique understanding. Usually when you hear about all these different pet food brands, they lead to a nameless, faceless person inside a huge corporation that's worldwide, whereas Scott is a name and a face. So we're going to actually get a chance to talk to the man. So that's going to be the interesting part of the show. Then in the second half, we're going to continue the conversation with Dr. Tepe, the professor from Brown Mackey University in Ohio, who was a guest about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And boy, Rick, did we get a lot of feedback from her.
Yeah, she had some really fresh perspectives. It'll be nice to get her back on the show, especially, you know, with our topic today, which is basically we have a couple topics to hit on. But the one thing we do want to hit on today is simply, you know, we've seen a bit of recall. Anybody that has a dog that has gone to the store, they've probably seen one back in the melamine fiasco that hit a lot of dog food companies. And then this particular one seems to hit heavy, especially on some of the higher quality brand foods out there that are there. And I think there's some anxiety. I think there's some anxiety about anybody that's literally has a dog and doesn't understand what that recall is all about. So hopefully Scott can bring us some valuable information that will make people feel a little bit more at ease.
Well, and with that said, let's get the conversation started this week. We have with us, as a first-time guest on the line, Scott Whipple, who is the founder of Canaday Pet Food Company. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Yes, hello, everybody. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to be on here. I'm excited to share some inside information that gives people a little more knowledge on what's going on with the pet food industry and what to expect moving forward.
Well, Scott, to begin with, for any of our customers who may not be familiar with Canaday, we've got a lot of listeners who do shop at our sponsor stores that do carry Canaday, but there are people who don't. So can you explain how the company got started and when it got started, and just give a brief history, if you don't mind?
Yes, I'd love to do that. Me and my partner, John Gordon, founded Canaday in 1996. We owned and operated a retail pet store similar to Rick, and we saw the emergence of mass retailers carrying brands that were also being carried by independent retailer. We saw a niche need for a high-quality product that surpassed the brands that were currently in the market, that were sort of unique to independent retail stores, where they can offer better nutrition and better products and help retain the independent pet industry and keep it whole and strong moving forward. As we all know, there's really not too many independent businesses left within our society anymore, that they've all been merged into big box type retailers. And our love for the industry, our love for independent retailers, we would hate to see that go away. And high-quality brands high niche products that are available through independent, or keeps them strong, keeps the customers coming back because they know they're getting better, higher quality products.
Well, in a short, I know if I wanted to go out right now and start my own brand of food, that would be an incredibly difficult undertaking. Tell us a little bit in a short, because we want to get to the meat of the show, but tell us a little bit about how you managed to pull that off.
Well, yes, it becomes more difficult, obviously, as time goes on, and due to the higher standards that are set forth moving forward in production on pet food, it becomes more of a challenge every day.
Sure.
What we did was we worked with nutritionists. We worked with specific plants. We knew what we wanted as a basic overall formula. We had been in the pet industry for 30 years of combined experience, and we worked closely with the customers, and we felt as though we knew what they were looking for. We knew some of the brands out there were providing products that were not what the consumer wanted. So we basically designed a product that was around the consumer's needs and around the nutritional requirements of their pets. Thus, the emergence and the birth of Canada.
Yeah, and it's done very, very well for us. We've had that product as probably our anchor product now for 3 or 4 years, and the customer feedback has always been fantastic, and certainly getting you on the show is a great opportunity for us. A little bit of a hiccup right now. We don't have the same distribution of product right now because of this particular recall, and maybe you could talk a little bit about this recall and how it's actually affected both you, your clients, and more importantly, how close down did it touch to the product that you actually had on the shelves?
To touch a little bit on the recall that happened, it was a salmonella-related recall that happened at one of our manufacturing facilities. It was on their own specific brand, and it was specific to a specific time frame and specific run on products. We are concerned about pet safety and the overall well-being of animals and the consumers. None of our products ever have tested positive for salmonella, so I'd like to reiterate that.
Uh-huh.
None of our products have ever tested positive for salmonella. Because it's our responsibility and because our consumers count on us, we did the right thing, and we recalled just a limited amount of product that was ran on a specific piece of equipment during a specific time frame just to be sure that we were doing the right thing. We felt as though that is what our customers would have wanted from us, and that's why we reacted to that particular recall. So we voluntarily entered into it. We voluntarily recalled a very specific time frame, just 4 limited SKUs that was ran on a specific piece of equipment only because out of our love and our concern for pets and our consumers.
Right. And Scott, one of the things that I noticed was that where we're broadcasting from, Michigan, was not one of the states that was affected. So any of our listeners should not have any concern whatsoever, correct?
Our manufacturing facilities are located in specific regions so that they're freighted as little distance as possible, so it makes the product more affordable. If we're freighting product from one part of the United States to the other, that could add up to as high as $4 or $5 per bag that the consumer's paying in freight.
Right, right. So it sounds like in our case, the only reason we don't have some product has mostly to do with the distribution issues once you take one plant out of the equation. Is that a fair statement?
That is exactly the situation. I mean, the amount of product that was actually recalled was very, very small.
Gotcha.
That had nothing to do with the product flow by any means. And yes, your area wasn't affected because this was limited only to the East Coast.
Good.
Products that were produced in the East Coast and distributed to the East Coast.
Okay. Well, Scott, we're going to continue this conversation, but we need to take a break. So when we come back, we'll continue this conversation about candidate dog food and just what goes into the dog food industry these days, right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expo Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Got some ideas, questions, suggestions? Email us at mmpets@1320WILS.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/mmpets. Like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/mmpets. You can upload your own pictures and interact with other pet enthusiasts.